There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning. For that to happen, everyone needs to be on the same page, to be in the best position with the right plan. Every person in this building has a job to do, and each job is important. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Donald steps up in the pocket, now throws. It is picked up by Ryan. Come back right side. Inside the 10. It is Quandre Diggs to the 5. To the house. Touchdown to Carmine. How about that for an opening act?
Oh, my God. It is Sir Mix-a-Lot booty thick.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show, episode 239. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Andy, the Sandman Morse. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, I suppose. I don't know, today's full of rough, hard feelings.
Yeah, not the good kind of hard. It's been tough. It's been a tough day. I expected a lot more out of this team today. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the game. We'll take your calls as we usually do. We'll talk about this huge contest opportunity we have for folks. We got all that and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Are you ready to go, my man?
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. That meant he was. He was using sign language. Please check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, and Brian B. from I Prevail. iPrevailBand.com still on tour. We're going to see them on the 16th in Ipsy with Sandman, of course. Check us out at patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get yourself in there and we get this great contest we're talking more and more about. So we'll get on that. That's a cool opportunity for you. Make sure to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram, we're there, Detroit Lions Podcast, and on the Twitter machine at DET Lions Podcast. Of course, where you're going to see Sandman with
no pants on.
That's right. He's still sick.
A little sick.
He's getting better. I'm getting worse.
I actually got over my cold, and then I watched this game, and then I feel bad again.
I'm sorry. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You'll find all these great post-game shows and the other stuff we do. And rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeart, where else? Spotify, all those places. We're in all those things. Give us a rating. We love it when you do that. All right, we got through all that stuff. Let's get going on this game.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going.
All right. Some of you may know, you may be aware that we played the Oakland Raiders today in a football game, in a football match, as it were. And high scoring affair it was. Unfortunately, we came out on the short end of the stick. And as we walked off the pitch, we said, go get them, Chapos. Next week will be a better showing. Is that how it worked?
We got to hope next week will be a better showing. We're about to play perennial all-universe quarterback Mitchell Trubisky.
All-universe Mitchell Trubisky. Oh, my God. Can I just complain about something really quick? And just a little bit more meta. We'll get into the actual game itself, and we're going to take your calls, like we said. But this is we talked about it earlier. This is a team. This isn't necessarily just this coach. It's GM. And I'm not going to blame ownership here, right? There's a culture in here somehow, and I don't know how it permeates all these different groups of people that come through. But we just can't win those important games when we could put ourselves in the driver's seat. We win today, Sandman. The rest of the division is lost. It's a whole different outlook on the rest of the season, right? We were just hanging on today. No one thought Minnesota was going to lose. No one thought Green Bay would lose. They gifted us that. And a win today just puts us in a whole different spot. Same thing with the Green Bay game, right? And I said it before the game. I said it after the game. I said it's Friday, too. This team just has a way of getting to the point where they could absolutely seize control, and then they miss it. Green Bay, oh, it was the refs. This time, I'm going to say something, and we'll talk about this more later. The defense was bad. There was a lot of stuff, but everybody knew before this game it was going to be a shootout. We knew who we had on the teams as quarterbacks and defenses and everything else. Matthew Stafford missed a lot of throws today. I love Matthew Stafford. You know that. I don't dislike him any less. He missed a lot of throws today. He seemed off on a lot of throws. He had the same coverage he usually has, same blocking and protection he usually has. I don't know what. I heard he might have been sick during the week. Maybe that was messing with him a little along with the trip to the West Coast. I don't know. But I think a lot of those passes are the difference between winning and losing today. No, again, defense outside of it, because we knew this was a shootout. The defense got a couple of stops, and in a game that you expect to be a shootout, a couple of stops is what you need out of them. So we'll get into it. They didn't play great, but we'll get into that more. But I was really bummed out about Matthew Stafford today. Hopefully this is his one. Everyone gets one throw away a year, right? So hopefully that was his. You with me?
Yeah, you know, it's rough. I'm just sitting here listening to you, and it's hard. I can't even put any of this on. You know, it's like feels like a whole team loss. We didn't have one thing that was, you know, that we could easily put blame on, like the refs, or there's this one super egregious, you know, thing that happened. The offense looked good early. It started to taper off. You know, we started to see, you know, Oakland starting to kind of catch on to our offense a little bit. The last play call was possibly the worst play choice.
God. You it know, took forever I'm not to sure. Get in, right?
It's awful. You know, we're still having problems with awkward stuff where we were down a timeout because we had 12 men on the field again for like the fifth week in a row. You know, it's starting to get a little old.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is. And watching this defense work, again, Slay was a non-factor. I didn't throw to him. I guess that's doing your part, right?
Yep.
the front seven and the rush that this team continues to not get is really, really
awful.
The problem. Is really, awful. Really a big problem for this team. I did not expect that out of our defensive-minded head coach and Matt Patricia. This was not the showing I expected out of our defense. And I'm okay if we understand that we're going to have a shootout offense, but it doesn't feel like Daryl Bevel. I can't say that. I mean, we got what, 28 points? I feel like we scored a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like the offense has been our problem at all this year, like on a large scale, but you know, we have to start admitting that at the beginning of this year, we should have known that pass rush was going to be a problem. They didn't address it in the draft, really. You know, they took Bryant in the fourth round, but fourth round picks are fourth round picks. They didn't do anything. They signed Mike Daniels in hopes that he could bring a little bit of pass rush. But you know, he's been injured the last couple of years. He is injured this year. You know, no real surprise there, I guess. But we're constantly playing an uphill battle where, you know, I think up to last week that quarterbacks facing us had an average of 3.7 seconds to throw, which might as well be we don't have a pass rush. We're playing 7-on-7s. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we've won any games without a pass rush is kind of ludicrous. And I think that puts it towards that the offense is still doing its thing. But, you know, we're hitting the point in our season where we're running into problems that aren't fixable anymore. That they are what they are, and they're going to be that way until the season's over. And I'm looking at a team that's got way too many holes, way too many issues, and it's, you know, bothersome and worrisome at the same time.
Yep. All right, let's open up the calls. We got one coming in right now. Hey, caller, what's your name? How many have you had on this fine Sunday evening? Oops.
It's Malcolm Chris. What's up, baby?
Hey, oh, Malcolm, how you doing, my man? I'm going to take that as not awesome.
And I'm in line trying to get this fucking Popeye's chicken sandwich, my guy. This shit is ridiculous.
Just nothing's going your way today, Malcolm. It's a bad day.
I mean, fam, like, I'm like, at least I could come out here and get me a chicken sandwich real quick and, like, drown my fucking sorrows in some, you know, rejuvenated chicken from Popeye's. Nope, can't even do that. No. Let me call my homies real quick. and ask a couple questions, and you know, we go from there.
Sure, man. What's going on? I'm sorry about your chicken sandwich, bro. I'm sure it'll be back in stock one day soon. This Popeye's thing is a mess.
Yeah, if I get to this line and my chicken sandwich ain't in stock, dude, you might see Georgia man runs car into front of Popeye.
It'll be Sunday after a bad game.
That's right, man. That's right. So I want to talk about the coaching GM real quick, which is a hot topic, I know.
Yeah.
I have been defending those guys, you know, in various Lions chats and amongst my friends, because I'm of the belief that you have to pick players to fit your scheme. The Lions have a history of always just sort of getting guys, asking them to do things that they don't do, and we wonder why they're not successful. So this year, you know, we passed on linemen like Ed Oliver. We all felt good about it because we were like, hey, not a scheme fit. He's more of an upfield guy. We need dudes that can hold and control. Linebackers clean it up. I'm like, I get it, but I'm watching them pass on guys left and right, left and right, left and right. Not a scheme fit. But I'm also saying, you know what? These are your schemes. These are your players. You live and die on it. You think you're the smartest guy in the room? Knock yourself out. Let's get this shit popping and get some W's. So I sit back and I think about what's going on right now. Can't stop the run, can't run the ball, can't rush the passer. Hey, at least our scheme is tight. And I'm just wondering, Chris. I'm not at the point where I'm like, hey, rip the cord off, we're done. Them seats in Allen Park got to be hot, man. The Raiders aren't that much of a better football team than the Lions. They were making mistakes up and down the field, two turnovers. You know, that running back, explosive. Where are our explosive defensive athletes, guys? I don't understand this.
I'll tell you.
We do not have playmakers.
I love this call. I love this call. This is such a good call, Malcolm. You know, I think we all kind of feel the way that you feel here, because I agree 100% that was one of the selling points that maybe the Lions didn't sell us, but fan to fan, we definitely sold the fact that, you know, in the past we would draft Kyle Van Noy and we would draft, you know, other guys like that that really didn't have a place in our system. And so now Patricia comes in and we say, whoa, 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 look at this. We've got Patricia, our head coach. We've got Bob Quinn, our GM. They're like one mind, two bodies. This is going to be great. They know exactly what they want to do, and they have all the availability to do it. And we have to trust them. And that's what we did. We've trusted them thus far. And I agree with you that we're getting to the point now where we've drafted a bunch of non-athletes. We've signed a bunch of non-athletes, and we're losing because we don't have athletes. And it's starting to become, you know, another circle roundabout, but in a different carousel.
Hmm. Same rodeo, different horses, right?
You know, exactly. Because we get excited about Jelani Tavai because, hey, here's an unheralded guy. He's playing well. I can't hate on Quinn's track record in terms of, like, we get guys in late rounds. They get on the field and they do something. The problem is we're not like getting premium production. We're like, we've got like the kind of depth and like base, great. But the problem is we don't got those premium guys that take care of business. So now you're sitting there looking at, well, when do we get to that point? Right? Our issue was we always had Calvin and nothing around him. Mm-hmm. If we had this roster with Calvin, the Lions would be winning the division right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let me tell you though. I'm with you 100% on the chicken sandwich. Okay, we'll start there. But the thing about this team and I'm not disagreeing with you. This team needs to have won a lot more games, but there's a couple things we can look at here. While the record's the record, right? That's that. Look at what we've done this year so far. I mean, the Packers had an embarrassing loss to the Chargers team that we beat this year, right? In what was effectively a home game for the Packers. Everyone talked about it and knew it. Okay, so there was that. We effectively beat the Packers this year, right? There was some BS going on in that game, and I think we can all look at that and say that's probably a win. Week one, it's a clusterfuck no matter what. It's always, you know, a toss-up of what's going on. We could have won that. We could have lost it. I can't say a whole lot about week one games with anybody because it's so out of whack for I always call it fool's gold, right? Because it just isn't indicative of who the teams that are really playing in those games. And the rest of the games, I think all except one this year that we lost, we've been there till the very, very end. They've all been games. You know what I mean? And you walk away, you feel like it's been stolen from you, right? If we think about it, we go back to this team under Caldwell or whatever. Those losses were pretty big usually. They were stingers and stinkers. You know what I mean? And while you can look at one play, whether it's this last play of the game, that when I saw that bunch formation, I just knew this was ugly. It took forever to get in, all that going on. You can look at that and say, oh, but that's a single play versus putting a big old turd on the field. This team is playing its competition closer and better than it has in a number of years. What does that mean? If it doesn't equate to wins soon, right, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This is another experiment that's gone wrong, and we have to walk away from it. But the thing about this experiment is you have to let it play out. Don't cut it short early, because if you do, you're in the same boat you were before, and you're going to set yourself up for another 2 or 3 years. And if you can't wait more than three years, you're going to start over again. And I'm tired of starting over. I started watching this team when Billy Sims was drafted. I've been a fan forever, and I've seen this over and over and over again. This may not be the right fit for this team. Coach Patricia and Bob Quinn may not be, you know, perfect for this team right now, but we don't know. We don't know. You've got to go at least another year with these guys to see how it plays out. So that's where I'm at. We're in games that we wouldn't have been in otherwise. We're a hell of a lot more competitive than we've been in many, many years past. These games are all the way down to the end that we're playing. I just think you got to give them a little bit more time. And if it doesn't work, you cut bait and move on. But you can't do it now. Now, because you're mad, is the wrong time to throw this thing in the dumpster and light it on fire. But I'm with you.
No, for sure, fam. And I don't think we want to I don't think we should do that, obviously. The way I look at it is, like, I think the Lions could have made the playoffs this year. And there are some opportunities that we're going to look back on and see, this is why it probably didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Next year, year three for the coach, year four for the GM, if I'm not mistaken, like, those seats are going to get warm. Yeah. And that's when we start having a slightly different conversation if we continue to see this. The last thing I'm going to leave you with, man, I'm going to leave it on a high note because I know you got other callers you want to get to. Planning to be in the house for Dallas. Obviously, I got my Patreon entries in.
Oh, yeah.
I can come, you know, maybe get into the suite if I'm cool enough. But either way, I'm going to be in Detroit. So I didn't see you for the podcast taping, the pregame show.
Yeah.
So let's make sure we hook up, man. Have a beer or two, Sandman. I'll see you too, man. So
thank y'all
for the call, man, and the work y'all doing on this, and we'll be in touch soon, man. I'll text y'all.
All right, love, man. Much love to you, Malcolm. Thanks for bringing
it. Later, Malcolm.
Oh, he's so fucking cool. He is. He's a really, really cool cat. Let's talk about that really quick, guys. We're going to take your calls till you stop calling, so don't worry. Don't get frustrated. But this is a really big deal. Sandman has gone out of his way. He got a deal and was able – he said, you know, I'm going to pay my deal forward, and to the tune of a whole bunch of money, as a matter of fact. He got himself a suite, and he's invited a couple friends along to come in and take in the Dallas game at Ford Field from a suite. Now, that's a pretty cool deal. I was lucky enough to get invited, and I don't know how. I don't know. I've never done nice things for this guy.
I flipped a coin, and it came up for you. So.
So he also said, hey, why don't we do a contest and give away a ticket to the suite to see the Lions in Ford Field play the Dallas Cowboys, hottest game of the year, and we'll let some of the listeners win. So So what we're doing is we're setting it up. Any Patreon person, every dollar that you donate to Patreon this month, you get one entry for every dollar. And we're going to, of all the donors, we're going to pick out a winner. We're going to give them a free ride up to suite. We'll give them a podcast shirt. We'll give them some other stuff. It's a great, great time. Great time. Going to have a blast. We'll do a halftime show from there, a post-game show. I was thinking maybe even a pregame show from the suite in Ford Field, so you'll get to see all that, and you get to take part in those shows. So if you're interested to come up and have the sweet life, the too sweet experience, we said hashtag too sweet, right? Right, man.
Hashtag too sweet.
That's right. Get into Patreon. All right, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Set yourself up with a donation there, and get yourself in the entry. And then the other prize for the person who didn't make the sweet, we get the sweet Sega Retro Genesis 43 game system all buried in there. Dig Dug, Virtua Fighter, Just all the great, great old games. God, I love this thing. You can get one of those too. So set up with the Patreon. We're going to do the drawing on the 12th. So get in and be ready. Again, hit patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Sign up for Patreon and get yourself an entry for every dollar you donate to get to win a ticket to the suite to hang out for the Detroit Lions Dallas Cowboys game with Sandman and Chris and a bunch of other cool people. All right, we got another call coming in. Let's take this one. Hey, caller, what's your name? How many you had so far? Oops, wait.
And I've had 15.
15? Sorry, I was my bad. I had a technical glitch. I missed your name. What was it again?
This guy needs a yeah. And I'm going to find him and just give him a big
Blandito piped in because we just got a Patreon pledge that came up on the bucket. One more time.
How many have you had, Chris? 16?
I usually do about a 10-second jack pour, and then I put a can of soda in there, so whatever it winds up to be. All right, caller. I'm sorry. One more time. What was your name? I'm good with it this time, I promise.
My name is Jeff, and I'm doing a body count, and I've had 15.
15? Okay. Wow, Jeff. I am both impressed and a little nervous.
Well, no, don't be, because I'm on my best behavior, damn it. Okay. All right. And as I tweeted at Sandman about the coaching staff, that I think we have to pretty much identify that these guys who are who they are. And I guess my biggest I don't want to start over, and I'm not, throwing my hands up in desperation, but I just really want to see the coaching staff improve. Mm-hmm. We were sold a bill of goods with Patricia that he was a guy who was going to take personnel, no matter what the personnel was, because they cycled through tons of personnel in New England, and make them a very, very sound defense. And, I give you Talavanoy. And, and a guy who also made in-game adjustments that, that made it all better.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that this year. And, and one of the things that's irritating me is, Stafford seems to get no pressure until, it's like passing down, traditional passing down. He took, towards the end of the game that they were passing, he took a lot of heat at the end of the game on when they knew we were passing the ball, which means the Raiders are making adjustments. Why weren't we? And that kind of irritates the hell out of me in itself. And, and back to the passers at the beginning of the year, we loaded the team up with a lot of complimentary players, a lot of people who were facilitators, not necessarily getting to the ball. And again, going back to Patricia and the coaching, it's so written the master of adjustments make those guys, be in a position where they're going to get to the quarterback and not to be facilitators anymore. They are going to be the guys who are going to get there. And why the hell were Jones and Galladay off the field at the end of the game?
That bunch from when I saw that, I was ready to just strangle somebody. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think to allude a little bit back to Malcolm's call, and your point, I think there should be some heat under Quinn and Patricia's seats. Okay. I don't think it's a throw them off the bus right now thing, but let's face it. If you're not performing, there needs to be heat, and this is a performance business. I think they're on the right track. I think this team is making the right strides. And I would go to the fact that, again, alluding back, talking about not having those superstars, this team forever had one guy or two guys or three guys on the team that were kind of stars. And then the rest of the guys were basically, your Chris Durham's your number two.
So aren't we playing? So by what you're saying, Chris, aren't we playing exactly into Patricia's wheelhouse here? Having these guys who are the complimentary guys who need to eat crap into an above average defense. That's the part that I'm getting frustrated with at this point. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I mean, sometimes when I'm really, really drunk, kind of like right now, I would like Jim Schwartz to have this roster. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, yeah. I'm high on Jim Schwartz, but I don't want to go there yet. Yeah, not quite yet. I just think we are missing those stars. But I think what we did so often is we paid these stars a bunch of money and then had scrubs. I think we're fixing the whole scrubs issue and building the baseline of the team, and we're going to bring in a star or two, those big different changers when the rest of the team is there. And when you can put a better bait out there to sign guys that you that wouldn't otherwise have come. That's kind of my thinking here. That's why with that and the fact that we just this year got the, you know, Patricia's defensive coordinator, I think this is a pathway, a journey kind of that they're going on to get the right guys. I could be wrong. It could be completely, completely wrong. But if you don't let it play out, you'll never know. And you go back to ground zero again. And if you bring in Jim Schwartz, and I like Jim Schwartz, I'm happy with him.
Oh,
if,
I'm not suggesting they bring in Jim Schwartz.
I know. But I'm as bringing in anybody, right? You bring in somebody who you think can really execute. You're starting at ground zero, and you're still going to say, well, they need 2 years or 3 years to get everything going. Period.
I guess when I get right down to it is, you know, I go back to the Jim Moore analogy, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go back to the Jim Moore analogy. Is okay, so you have you progress forward with coaches. You know, Jim Mora was the guy who took, you know, teams to the brink, and then, you know, your Sean Payton's of the world come in and take them to the Super Bowl and stuff like that. I was kind of hoping that, you know, we were at a position with the team and with the way the direction of the team was going, that we were not at the point where we were going to bring in a coach who was going to start from ground zero. I was kind of hoping we were going to start with a coach who was going to like, okay, I've got these pieces. My GM's giving me these pieces and we're going to move forward. And the chess game progresses from here instead of, you know, having some crap come out of his mouth. Like, preseason last year saying, I want to put guys in position. And yeah, he was doing that all the way through the fifth game of the last year. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, I guess I don't think that they should blow him up, but I'm just starting to lose faith with Patricia and all the bullshit that comes out of his mouth.
Let me ask you this. Go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. You know, to me, the biggest problem, and I agree with you here, Jeff, is that Bob Quinn didn't fire a coach after a 3-win season. He fired a coach after a 9-win season and said, this is not good enough, and then brought in his guy. And thus far, we've looked worse every year. And it's becoming harder to justify it. And I agree with you, Chris, because when Patricia first came here, the hope of all Lions fans was that we finally had a guy who was going to get us over the hump. So like the 2016 Lions with Caldwell at the helm lost almost all their games by one possession or less. You know, they had one or two games that were not close. And the hope was that Patricia would get us over those little humps that we seem to have with Caldwell, where there would be one or two or three small mistakes per game that would end up costing us and that would keep us away from that infamous 10, 11, 12 win season. And, apparently that's much harder to do than we initially thought because Patricia's having similar issues that Caldwell had, where it's, you know, 12 men on the field, it's, you know, a busted coverage, it's a bad play call, it's, you know, small things in addition to the stuff that we already deal with, you know, like with refs and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't think anybody blames anybody for feeling not great about Patricia right now. I think it's too hard to blow this team up right now, especially because Patricia finally has his roster, and it's hard, it would be way too hard to transfer this over again, but the frustration is definitely warranted.
Do you think the Titans are ready to fire Mike Vrabel yet? That's an honest question.
Hey, thanks for your time, gentlemen. You too. Have a great evening.
All right, you too. It's an honest question, Sam. I mean, they were hired roughly the same time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if the Titans did pull the trigger on Vrabel, he would be our defensive guy. I feel like they would take him over here right now, and I think that would really would get that defense in a whole different place than where it is right now. Patricia's a defensive guy, but he's got Pasqualoni, but you can't run the whole defense as a head coach, right? You're supposed to run the whole team.
And that's interesting that you bring that up, because one of the things I was thinking today during the game was, are we going to have like a token firing, and is our defensive coordinator that guy?
Yeah.
You know, like we don't know what Patricia's interaction with the defense is fully, right? We know he's not making the play calls because that's too much, but we do know that he has his hand on everything else. When the defense gets off the field, he's over by him,
right?
You know, not even watching the offense do its thing.
Yep.
But at some point, you know, I feel like when you're a defensive coach hired to improve a team and then you're the 32nd or 31st worst defense in the league, something has to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I think your thoughts not too far off that they should probably think about bringing in somebody just to spice it up, maybe.
God, I think Vrabel would be so great. But again, this is the hard part. You look at Mike Vrabel and you're like, this is only his second season. How can you fire him? You got to think the same way about Matt Patricia, right? He's a first year coach. And the other part of it is you know, he's going to go on and be very successful somewhere else. You just absolutely know he is. Hey, caller, what's your name? How many have you had so far? Oh, this guy at 616. He keeps calling and then bouncing right away. Oh, well, we'll try to pick one. If you want to give us a call, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or if you want to call us on the Skype, it's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, Detroit Lions Podcast. Let's see if we can get him in here. Are you there, caller? Tune in, Tokyo.
Hey, this is Jake from Grand Rapids.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey. Good, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, no problem, man. I saw you're pounding on those digits, so we got you.
Cool. No, I just wanted to, you guys just kind of touched about it. And I kind of want to talk about Paul Pascolani a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if this guy is really in charge or is he just a fall guy or what Patricia's thinking here. And I kind of wanted your opinion on that.
Yeah. Do you want to take it, Sam, or you want me to? Cause I've got
You know, when Paul was hired here, Paul Pascolani, I'm going to call him Paul. We're on first name basis.
Pauly P.
When Pauly P was hired here, I was nervous about the hire because I knew that Patricia was still going to, for the most part, run this defense. And when you hire somebody that hasn't done it, you know, we're talking about somebody that coached in college, hasn't had any recent NFL experience. You know, it was definitely a weird hire at the time, but I think I understood it because Patricia didn't want to hire somebody that was going to push back, right? This was Patricia's defense. Right. He just wanted a yes man to get things done. And at this point in time, I think that Pauly P here is, you know, probably not going to make it past this year, whether he's fired in midseason or not. I don't think that, you know, that's hard to say. But I do think that he probably won't be back next year, the same way that Jim Bob Cooter was not back the year prior.
I will say, just really quick, on the hire piece, sorry, and then I'll let you jump in there, man. I think the reason that Paul Pascolani was hired was because there was nobody else. Remember, it was the latest possible coaching hire you could get when we picked up Patricia, and there was nobody that he was comfortable with that would run the defense that he wanted to run. And so he was kind of stuck with Pascolani. And he knew, like you said, he's a yes man. He would do what he was told. And there was an element of trust and communication that had already been built. I think then you had to ride out the Jim Bob Cooter year to get rid of him because you had your quarterback standing beside that offensive coordinator telling you that he's the guy. You can't just walk in and fire him right away. You're going to lose your franchise quarterback. So you're going to burn a year or Jim Bob is going to do great. Well, Jim Bob did what Jim Bob's do. And then we got rid of him. We got Bevelin. And now we seem to have an offense that can score some points. That's doing pretty decent and putting some numbers up there. So that's good for us. But now we got to take a look at, you know, that defensive side of the ball. Was last year the year you want to fire your offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator? I don't think so. I think that Pascolani is going to go this year. I think Mike Vrabel is going to be an interesting place in Tennessee because they're just a weird kind of feckless team a little bit. He may feel a little bit, but I think also there's somebody that's going to be out there that's going to be Patricia's guy for the defensive coordinator this year that's going to make this thing happen. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out on defense this year. And I believe, again, next year is the year where it's got to start coming together. And these close games have to start turning the other way. They have to turn into W's instead of L's. I don't mind if we lose a couple of these and we feel like, oh, God, the same Lions thing. But we walk out like a 10 or 11 win team that's in the playoffs, right? Next year, I think that's a great place to be for this team. If they're not there, I think it's absolutely time for these guys to go.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate the input, you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for calling.
Yep, take care.
All right, cheers.
Have a good one.
All right, yeah, give us a call. We'll take your calls as long as you want to call and talk about it. We're here for you. We'll give you that kind of break down, the opportunity to break down and build back up. It's the therapy here that we really provide. You can see Sandman in his picture. He's still a little sick, so he's not doing the live video, but he's there with his man Caldwell.
Once and again, still look like Beetlejuice.
Harkening back to the days of nine win peak. That's something I think that's important to talk about. The 9-7 isn't good enough thing. That's because 9-7 felt like Jim Caldwell's ceiling, right? Like it was always going to be this just barely into the playoffs or out of the playoffs and nothing more out of Caldwell. I mean, if you look, I mean, I just remember so many times looking at his dumb face while the clock management issue is like, what are you doing? Call a timeout, throw the flag, do something, right? And he just like that same frozen look. It was just, I still have flashbacks to that. I mean, I don't think Jim Caldwell wasn't going to do much better with this team or any better with this team.
I know you're saying that, but you know, Matt Patricia still hasn't had a year as good as Caldwell had in his worst year.
No,
as hasn't. A coach. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean,
again, though, we're playing with the most difficult NFC North we've played in a decade at least.
Well, we did win 11 wins that one year and still didn't win the division.
That's right. Oh, man. All right. What else do we got going on? Well, defense was bad. What's up with Darius Slay? I haven't seen him all year.
Yeah, you know, I saw him in a couple plays. He had one play today that I caught that was a little awkward. Mm-hmm. It was that long ball towards the end of the game that ended up leading towards the Raiders' final touchdown there that put him over the top. But Slay was in great coverage of his man. The Raiders had another guy running right alongside of Slay's man with a linebacker in coverage, I believe. And Slay saw the ball in the air, and you could see him looking at the ball. And he saw that it wasn't going to his man, but still came off of his man late. And to me, that was like an interception. When I was watching it live, I was like, oh my God, Slay's going to get this. And then completion. You know, it's hard to say. You know, when you're a cornerback and your name's not mentioned, then that's good. I don't think that they tested Slay once today, even. I don't even think he was thrown at.
No, I don't.
To be honest.
There's one play where he was, it was like a zone play, and he could have come in, but he was anticipating going the opposite direction. But he didn't play poorly, right? I mean, he didn't play poorly out there. It's just he isn't there. I think I'm kind of thinking about Slay right now, and I'm thinking about how he's going to leave us in a really tough spot with his contract. His contract is he's going to be 30 on his first year of his new contract. He's going to want a lot of money for that first year and in the following years. And I don't know if we're willing to pay it or not, right? We'll have to see how things go this this year with him. I don't know if we're willing to play Slay money, but if we don't, what's the
what are we gonna do?
Our YA is obviously not ready.
Yeah,
he hasn't taken a lot of snaps this year.
It's one of those things that, you know, the one consistent thing, at least recently, with the Patriots has been that they have high end cornerbacks.
Yep.
They just do. So it's hard for me to believe that this team would let Slay walk away. You know, we don't have, you know, like a number two guy in the weight that we think could probably handle number one guys and be fine. But at the same time, it's hard to pay an older quarterback the amount of money that he wants. And if Slay comes to the table and wants, you know, 20 a year, that, you know, that's going to put us in a real bind. Because I think if we lose Slay, then our defense is going to regress more, and I don't know how it can regress much more than it already has.
All right. Hey, we got a caller. Caller, what's your name, and how many have you had on this fine evening?
Hey, my name's Ryan, been drinking whiskey and chain smoking. So, yeah.
How's it going?
You're going to sound like me soon. What's going on, man?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for everything, and I'm sure most Lions fans enjoy listening to your guys' podcast and every other group of people that put that together for us to keep our head straight. So thank you. But I am beyond frustrated with, and I haven't been able to listen to the podcast up until now. So sorry if I'm covering things that have that already covered, but I'm beyond frustrated with the defense. I mean, we are wasting the last of Matthew Stafford's prime, and it's depressing to me. It's sad. Like, I don't know what to do. Do you cut bait with Quinn and Patricia after this year? But something has to be done. I mean, they're giving Christian Jones extensions.
That was just, yeah, wow.
I mean, I don't understand what they're doing. We have an elite quarterback, you know. Like I just saw on Twitter, Tom Brady has two losses when he has 100 and plus passer rating, 110 plus passer rating, and since 2009, Aaron Rodgers has six losses when he has 110 plus passer rating, and Matt Stafford already has 3.5 if you count the tie this year with 110 plus passer rating. Like, it's fucking bullshit.
Like, yep, that's crazy. That's a crazy stat.
Yeah.
Like, we have an elite quarterback, which is what you need when you're trying to win in the NFL. I mean, look at the Bears. it's funny as shit, kinda.
No, it really
we're gonna end up
is.
Playing
really
fucking
is.
Chase Daniels next week. Like,
yep. Lions luck. Yep.
Like, I can't. I mean, this is driving me nuts. They have to do something. We cannot waste an elite quarterback like we wasted Barry and Calvin and everything else. Like, I mean, I don't know. I'm at a loss. You guys go ahead. I'm sorry.
it's hard, man. It's really hard. And you're not the only person that thinks that. I was actually thinking that earlier today myself. You know, stats like the one you just kind of pointed out there are like the Matthew Stafford stats. We should call those Stafford stats. You know, it's similar to the ones that say, you know, Stafford has only had, you know, four guys rush for 100 yards or, you know, whatever it is in his entire career. And, you know, stuff like that, where if your team rushes for over 100, you have a 74% chance of winning. You know, there's a million stats that support that Stafford has had zero help here. And it's, you know, it is. It's hard to watch year after year after year after year. The same type of thing.
It's depressing and it's scary, man. This guy, like, supports Detroit. He supports the team. He supports the culture. He never has shit to say negative about anything ever. And I mean, the guy is like a true leader. Like, today on whatever it was, on the run, whatever it was, second down or whatever, at the end of the game there, you know, he didn't slide. Like,
no.
He puts himself at risk. He's helmet to helmet hit there at the end.
Yeah.
And we're going to let that go to waste. Like, he's 30, he's going to be 32 next year. They got to do something. I don't give a shit what it is, but they got to do something.
Well, I heard it's a great year to draft quarterbacks next year.
Fuck that. Those are lottery tickets. Like, I don't trust, like, Joey Harrington ruined my ass. I didn't even, like, when Stafford was coming out, I was like, Aaron Curry, we're like, do the safe thing. And now I'm like his biggest supporter. Like, holy shit, man. The guy's elite.
Yeah. Andre Ware broke me. Andre Ware broke me on drafting quarterback.
Andre Ware broke you. Well, Rodney Pete, there's a whole shit ton of them.
Chuck Long.
Fucking Scott Mitchell throwing balls into the dirt.
Scott Mitchell was when we became buyers on the rookie quarterbacks or the backup quarterbacks that we made look like superstars.
Yeah, he was our Matt Flynn.
Yeah, he was
our Matt Castle.
Yeah. Oh, man. So let's talk about it. I mean, here you got a team that's had years and years and years and years of these kinds of things, right? It feels cultural inside, but we've had completely different front offices, and now we've effectively got two different owners, and people say it's the forward zone on the team. I can't buy that. It's not like they're not spending money. It's not like they're not hiring the best talent available, right? I mean, they've got the best coaches, the best front office. If you think about what's Quinn's counterpart, help me out, the president
Oh, Rod Wood.
Thank you, Rod Wood. God, totally blanked. You got Rod Wood, who's been awesome for Ford Field and the fan experience and the business side, right? You get Bob Quinn, who seems to be, well, he was the very best and brightest available. He was one of the whiz kids, if you're familiar with the whole Ford story in the 60s and stuff, that they brought into as a GM, right? I mean, he was absolutely fabulous. The same thing with Matt Patricia, right? And on one hand, I want to say, look, the first Rocket was built on paper. And right now, our team on paper could kill anybody just about, right? At the beginning of the season, we were built awesome on paper. As the season's worn out, we've had some testing and maybe some of the burns aren't as long as they should be or whatever else, right? But I just feel like we are improving. We're not losing in a crazy spot. We're seeing progress. We need to see this regime for another year, I think. And I think at that point, we can really make a pretty clear decision. I think by this time next year, we're going to be able to make a very, very clear decision as to how this experiment has ultimately played for this team and whether it was worthwhile or not. I tend right now to believe that it is the right people who are young, who are fresh in this stuff and are figuring things out. The worst thing I could think of happening is, you know, we go 2 years and we fire them, and then Belichick retires at the same time and they get the band back together in some place like freaking Green Bay or Minnesota or Chicago and trounce the shit out of us, right? I mean, I just don't like to think of those things. So I just wanted, these guys are growing as well. This is Matthew or Matt Patricia's second year. He's a sophomore, right? Bob Quinn, three, he's a junior right now. If we think about growing young guys and growing talent, these guys are going to make mistakes along the way. They seem to be pretty smart. They seem to have their shit together. They are making some mistakes like you expect, but I think overall this team's in a better position to win. We've been in every game this year but one, right? I know it falls the other way in a couple games and we're having a completely different conversation. So I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet. That's just where I'm at with it with these guys.
Well, thanks for talking me off the ledge, and you're right. And what I use to talk myself off the ledge is if we're in the fucking AFC, shit, like,
yeah,
might be we're still, you know, we're in it to win it in the AFC. I mean, it's a dumpster fire, and we're stuck in the toughest damn division in the toughest conference in the NFL, and
I guarantee if we were in the Patriots conference, right, or in the division, we'd get a wild card spot. This team would.
I kind of think so too, and so that's why I'm holding on to the rope little bit.
Yep,
a little bit. But yeah, thank you guys again, and you're always so cordial and nice with everybody.
Oh, thanks, man. That calls. I like people, man. I hate crappy people. So I mean,
suck it, Ryan. Get out of here.
All right, brother. Hey, thanks a lot for calling, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. You guys take care. Right. Much love.
You too, man. Back at you. All right. Sweet. We did it. We get a little therapy in too, right? It works out. We talk about it, right? You get this point where people, you could be a slappy, right? And I have to self check all the time. Am I just sitting here, you know, and you can call me out, say, man, if you want. I just think there's a process that has to run through, and we may well end up at the point where we have to, you know, pull the rug out of these guys and throw them away. I just think it's too early to do that. And if you don't let the process run and you don't give these guys the runway to do what they can do, you're gonna sabotage that process. I think the sexual assault thing right out of the gate for Matt Patricia was sabotaging, actually.
That whole thing was super weird. But
yeah,
I do think it's too early to get rid of him. I don't think we need to get rid of him at this juncture. I think that at a minimum they're gonna get at least one more year because you kind of have to. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But at the same time, we need to not forget that, you know, you said that we've only had one game that we really weren't in it. And we need to remember that the year that Caldwell was fired, we were in every single game except for two. And he still got fired. You know, I think there's some things there that are a little bit harder to say, like, well, we're close because we've been close before and it's never seemed to really pan out. Yeah. You know, we've been close, and then nothing happens, and we fire people, and then we bring in new people, and we're close, and then we're, you know,
Yeah.
It's rough. We did it with Schwartz to Caldwell, or did it with Caldwell to Patricia, and hopefully they can right the ship, get some stuff figured out, and go from there.
Yeah. No, and you're absolutely right. Now, I will say, if you take just records and everything else aside, right, had we stuck with Caldwell, we wouldn't have a coach right now. He'd be out on a medical. So abilities aside, it was probably the right thing to move on from Coach Caldwell. I like him. He's a good man. He's an admirable human being. He's a guy that I'll never say anything bad about as a person, right? He may not be the best coach in the world. I get really frustrated with his like frozen face. It was like he's wearing a mask, right? It just never moved. Those things frustrated me. But as a human being, he's a great, great guy. But he's out on a medical. He wouldn't be coaching this team, even if we hadn't fired him and kept him on, and we'd have kept, hadn't hired Patricia. We'd be looking for a coach right now. And who's out there, right? Who's the guy you're going to pick up? We were talking about how great Nagy was last year. How are those Bears doing this year? Right?
It's a full crapshoot every single year.
Nobody saw LaFleur coming, right? The Packers picked him up and was like, what? What are you talking? What in the world? And evidently,
seems to be okay this year.
Pretty well.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the same thing. You know, like I read articles all the time about how hiring anybody is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You don't know. Mm-hmm. You hire somebody and you go through the interview process and who the hell knows? But
except me, I am the best hire you'll ever get.
Chris for president.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm glad someone in my life said that at least once. All right. Hey, really quick. I want to do two things. I want to give out the phone number 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Or if you want to do it on Skype, you can do Detroit Lions Podcast as the account. It's all one word. We'll take your calls and we'll take them through the end of the show and talk through this Lions game. Also, I want to talk about, because we've had a bunch of new people pop in. We've got a sweet, sweet, sweet contest, and you absolutely want to be part of it. We got a contest where you can win a ticket to join Sandman and I in a suite for the Lions Cowboys game at Ford Field.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, we got a caller. I want to just get the caller here. See what the thought is. Caller, what's your name? How many have you had?
Oh, Alex.
Wait. Hold on, Alex. I want to ask you: would you be interested in going to Ford Field and hanging out with me and Sam in a suite for the Cowboys game?
Yeah. I tried to donate to you guys, but freaking my YouTube thing won't let me out.
Oh,
you should extend it to YouTube. So if I do the super chat on YouTube,
entered
into the contest.
I hadn't thought about that super. I have to figure that out. Okay, I have to be honest. That's a little bit ahead of my of my curve yet. I'll take a look at that this week. See what we can do. But yeah,
be honest with you, I don't have a Patreon.
Oh man,
I don't want to sign up for a Patreon, but I got a YouTube.
Yeah.
More than happy to donate on YouTube. Especially when I'm chatting it up on your live stream.
Oh man, yeah, no, that's something. Let me finish the deal here, okay? I got to tell everybody else about it, because you make a good point though, and I didn't want to lose your call. I wanted to get you in here, so yeah, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Or no, that's the wrong spot. What am I talking? Now see what you did to me? You got me all messed up, brother. You head over to patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast and set yourself up. Every dollar you donate will give you an entry into the contest to win a ticket for the sweet ride in the suite for the Cowboys Lions game at Ford Field with Sam and I and a couple of our, I think whatever the number is, 9 other of our closest friends. And we'll do a pregame, halftime, and postgame show. Right from there, we'll have you on the halftime show and maybe some more. We'll have a lot of fun. So, again, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get those donations in. We're going to do the pick on the 12th. So you got to get in early and get out and have some fun. We'll have a great, great time. All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for helping me through that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, here's my rub. I mean, the Patriots have been to the Super Bowl 9 times in the last 20 years and whatnot. They've won 6 of them. I think they said that only like 10 head coaches have been to the Super Bowl in the last decade or something like that. 10 new coaches. You know, Pete Carroll's got a bunch of them and whatnot. It's hard to get there is my point.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you know what? What they need is the pass rush. They need their LT, their Lawrence Taylor. I mean, the defense would be all right if they could just get to the quarterback. They'd have the coverage, but when you get 6 seconds to pick the people apart, it's hard.
You're right. Every time they have pressure, they have a successful defense on the field.
Yeah, well, I just don't get why they waited to that last drive where they actually scored a touchdown. Like two drives before that, they got stopped because they ran it. The Lions offense ran it, and then they get no yards. And then the next play, they run it, get no yards, and they're at 3rd and 8, and they're trying to pick it up. But the play that they got the touchdown, they were going for it. Like, they were running that screen with Hawkinson. Until there's 8 minutes left in the game to start going for it. Your season's almost over. You might as well go for it every play. Don't feel conservative, like, turn my cooter on him.
I didn't see if Hawkinson was on the field for that last play. I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't.
He was in concussion protocol.
Yep, exactly. I didn't see anything about that, but I was certain he was injured on that shot to the head earlier in the game.
Did you see that screenplay where he picked up like 30, 40 yards on the drive scored the touchdown before? Mm-hmm. Like, and then they had a wheel route with McKissick that they scored the touchdown on. Like, those were innovative plays. Yeah. I mean, it's like he was digging deep in his playbook, and you're playing some stuff that I hadn't seen all year. It's like you had the ball. You had the ball three times, and you had, you know, your drive stalled out. If you would have scored one more touchdown, you certainly won the game.
It's hard to say, and this is 100% conjecture on my point or on my part. But while I was watching the game and watching what you watched, which is why are they running on first and second down when Stafford has been lighting the Raiders on fire the entire game.
Yep.
And the only thought that went through my head is the defense has been out there a lot. Yep. and they need a little bit of a break. And that's not necessarily, you could argue both directions for that, right? You could say, who gives a crap? You know, it's their job to get off the field. If they don't get off the field and they're tired, sucks to be them. And then you could also go the opposite way, which is, we should try to slow down a little bit to help our defense maybe get that extra stop that we need by getting them a little extra rest. But, you know, it's hard to say why Bevel did that, because you're right. When he was creative, when he, had that reverse to Hall, he had the McKissick touchdown play, which was awesome. He had the awesome screen to Hawkinson. There's a lot of interesting, fun plays by Bevel today. And it seemed like they were pretty random in the way that they were called. It didn't seem like he necessarily had a killer instinct at the end of the game, which is a little funky considering how we looked in the first half. The entire first half looked like kill shots, one after the other. And that's kind of been the MO this whole year, to be honest. I'm not sure why that is, but I'm sure, you know, the bunch of reporters will ask those questions and we'll get no answers, and we'll just have to, you know, come up with our own ideas.
We get really mad about the no answer thing. That doesn't bother me as much. I don't know. The not getting answers from coaches. I get it. It's just the nature. And I think it's kind of a little bit of a backlash against the NFL rules that they have to give answers and they have to be out there. I think if you gave them a little bit more flexibility and they could come out when they wanted to more rather than when they didn't want to, I think you might see a little bit more out of these coaches. But when you've got to be out there like 106 times a week and look, things change, you change your mind, whatever, but you say something just a little bit different. And then all of a sudden that's the story for the week. It's like, oh, for God's sake, does he know what he's doing? He's confused. Or it's like, oh, forget it. So they just give you these short nothingness so that you have nothing to grab on and generate BS stories about, because those are distracting for the team, for the coaches, for everybody involved. I guarantee it. Guarantee it.
Yep.
Hey, Chris, can I say something real quick, though? Yeah,
go ahead. All right.
I was reading the chat room on YouTube, and, you know, it makes me mad to see all these people hate on Stafford, because, like, no one's given more to that organization than Stafford. Like, if he was on the Vikings team when Case Keenum was the, they would have won the Super Bowl that year. The dude is so talented, and, like, I mean, he was sticking out for his buddy, Jim Bob Cooter. That's why their offense was terrible for the last 2 years before he got this bevel. But I've seen so much growth in him just from having an experienced NFL offensive coordinator. Yeah. And I want to say this real quick, too. I'm going to give him, Patricia and Quinn one more year, because like I said, they got to get their Lawrence Taylor. If they can get some pressure on the QB, I think their defensive scheme will work. Yeah. Anyway, you got to come out. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Yeah, no. And you know, you heard me if you were here for the first part of the show or you saw some of my tweets, I have to qualify what I'm going to say with, and I love Matthew Stafford. He's a great, great football player. He's great for this team. He's just spectacular. But he did have an off day today. He missed passes that he doesn't otherwise miss. I don't know that I'd say he cost us the game, but I think we would have a little bit different outcome. On that handoff on the first possession, that fumble, that was just an exchange fumble, right? That was kind of the 50-50 thing. That was on him or on
yeah, it's gonna go to him, but it was all McKissick. Like, I watched that play twice. McKissick was like he was in a straight jacket. He didn't have his arms away from his body at all. It almost looked like McKissick thought it was a play action pass. and then Stafford bumped him into the chest with the ball. He wasn't even ready for it. It was a weird play, but yeah, it'll be on Stafford, but
yeah,
okay. I don't think that was on him realistically.
No. Okay. I love the man. Love him to death. And he's absolutely right. Around town, the guy is he works. He is the epitome of kind of that Detroit mentality, and he's given his career. He said it. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. Can you imagine, though? I mean, think about it. You talk about a guy who has conquered so many things and you know, picked apart things and been successful. How amazing would it be to be the quarterback of the Detroit Lions team to take it and win that Super Bowl?
Oh, you'd get a statue immediately.
Yeah.
There would be somebody trucking in a fucking 100 million pound piece of marble. The size of a building,
throwing
and they'd
out
start the chiseling
fist.
Right away.
They'd fist would sail right into the Detroit River. And
yeah, get rid of that thing. We need the space. They would just shut down Jefferson. Yep.
Yeah.
Just right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
kick GM out of the Rensen.
Yeah, it would be.
Turn the whole thing into a shrine.
It would be a religious spot. Yeah, for sure. He knows that. I mean, you talk about, look, all the rings, all the stuff to be the hero. Look at Steve Yzerman still to this day. Right, and what he's brought for Detroit and hockey and everything else. He never buys a meal in the city. He is on an excellent life as the guy that he is. So, all right, let's take it in. We'll take the last set of calls here. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. We'll get your calls. Detroit Lions podcast, all one word on the thing. So we talked about the suite also for Patreon people. Don't forget that. We've got the sweet prize from the man, Peter Von Panda, the sexiest man alive.
That thing is sweet.
Sega Genesis Mini, 43 games, 42 games. Virtua Fighter. I mean, it's
does that Mortal Kombat?
Sonic. I'm looking for Mortal Kombat. It's so small, I can't see. I'm a little bit in the dark here, and my vision's a little blurry.
from your 12th White Claw. You've got White Claws, I've got White Flags.
Well, I started with Jack and Coke, and I finished that one, and then so I moved on to the White Claw, because there is no law. All right, so yeah, give us a call. Let's talk about the Lions. Close team, close to a lot of wins, not as terrible as the record shows, not as great as maybe we expected. Sucks to lose when the rest of your division is handing it to you, and that's, I think for me, the biggest part of it, players, everything else aside, the hardest part is just like the Green Bay game, is losing the game that you had every opportunity. The world was in your hands. You had it by the sack. And
the big sack.
Yeah. And you choked again. You choked again. This is the next milestone this team needs. They need to take a step and win those kind of games. And Skydog, I get it. You don't like that. My take on Stafford. He did have a great statistical game today, and that was fine. But we knew this was going to be a shootout. We knew there was going to be a high scoring game because both teams have bad defenses. Stafford missed a lot of throws. He just plain missed a lot of throws. Didn't mean he played bad, right? But he missed a lot of throws, and it wasn't typical Stafford. And I know he's under pressure, but he's always under pressure, right? I mean, that's who he is. He missed a lot of throws that he typically makes. So he wasn't the Stafford that we all know and love and are used to. Had he been that guy, we very likely would have won the game today. So that's all. I'm not trying to dog on Stafford again. I love the guy, but it just wasn't his game. We all have a bad game. Look at Aaron Rodgers today. He didn't have a
good Aaron Rodgers looked horrible. He had no passing yards until the end, and then he got 160. That was his big.
Yep. So there you go. That's it. It's okay, Skydog. I know you're not messing with me. You're just kind of calling out. You see it. That's cool. We all see things a little different. It's all good. All right. With that, I think we're going to call it out. I'll end after we finish out with an old favorite that people really enjoy. But with that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you, everyone, for calling in and joining us. We got a late game to watch. We'll jump into that here. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. And also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Don't forget about your chance to sit in the suite with us or win the Sega piece on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get in there, sign up, and get yourself some awesome chances. Also, don't forget about the Slack, the Wicked Slack chat. This is the smartest chat about the Lions on the internet. The White Claws are catching up with my mouth here. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, on Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, and of course on Twitter. Get us to Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's where Sandman, me, everybody else, we hang out. What?
With no pants on.
Damn straight. You should see us in the suite. It's going to be
hot.
Give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. I already have a call that I have to figure out how I can play it on the next show because...
Oh, man, that call.
Yeah.
Got to catch it next.
Yeah, I might have to pull out the bleeper for this one, and I don't bleep anything, you know? Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your ear holes automatically. That's how you like it. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.